Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from dynamite dinners to dancing devils. And today, we're talking about death kisses.
Mwah.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast fireball. The Dungeon Cast.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I hope I don't get death kissed.
Yeah, I hope not too, because it's a horrific death.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Sweet.
And excited because it's Year of the Beholder.
That's right.
And this is our first like Beholderkin episode.
Yeah, we did Beholders Revisited, which is the Beholder episode that we did a long time ago.
Yeah,
but
with
again,
some added stuff.
With bonus stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's our first 100% cut from the cloth, unique Dungeon Cast presentation of Beholderkin. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
It's the unofficial start, sort of. Oh. We've been doing Beholder stuff every episode, really.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, we really have. Honestly, yeah. We're giving Beholders way more love than we ever did Giants.
That's not true. I mean,
you don't
like,
think so?
Well, like Giants in particular.
I tried to make everything a big guy.
Right. the whole year was about being big.
Yeah, it's true. And this one is about beholding, I suppose.
This is about beholding.
Okay. So it is Year of the Beholder, and as such, we are covering all things Beholder and Beholder adjacent this year. Starting with one of my favorites among Beholderkin, the Death Kiss. Mm. Also known as Bleeders or Eyes of Terror, Death Kisses are the living physical manifestations of a Beholder's vivid fear or dream of bleeding to death.
Whoa.
If you remember from the original Beholder episode, Beholders have powerful reality-altering powers, giving them some conscious control over their physical surroundings, but more importantly, making their dreams become reality.
Yeah.
This is how both classic Beholders propagate and how Beholderkin are created in the first place. A Beholder has a powerful dream, and depending on the subject of the dream, either a new Beholder or Beholderkin is born, or the Beholder itself awakens transformed into a new Beholder or Beholderkin form. And when a Beholder has a vivid nightmare about losing blood or dying from blood loss, a death kiss is born.
Is this like the version of like the dream people have where all their teeth fall out?
Yeah,
kind of like that, yeah, for
exactly.
Beholders.
Yes,
all right.
I would say so. The fear of blood loss and a Beholder's subsequent demise from it brings into being an aberration whose sole drive is an insatiable need to consume blood.
Oh.
Ever hungry, a death kiss wanders its territory in search of living creatures to suck dry. Death kisses resemble the Beholders that create them, both in coloration and shape, but lack their eye stalks and have no mouth below their main eye. In place of magical eye rays, they instead have 10 20-foot-long tentacles, each ending with a toothy maw capable of suctioning massive amounts of blood from prey.
Oh my god, it's the ultimate orb leech.
Yeah, it's fucking horrifying. Each tentacle is fully retractable, and death kisses can speak through their 10 mouths with their cacophonous voices sounding high-pitched and nasally.
Like the gibbling mouther?
Like except for this time, coherent.
I think I said gibbling when I should have said gibbering.
The gibbling mouth.
That gibbling shit.
But no, yeah, no, that's terrifying. Like, I would... See, like, this is one of those things that you couldn't really pull off, like, in person.
That's the thing. It's so hard to roleplay this. You pre-record some stuff in different pitches.
That's true. But, like, for a show, like, say, Supercross Saga or any D&D podcast, like, it would be really cool to, like, introduce a death kiss and then, you know, go to the audio track and do 10 different tracks.
Yeah, and do some post.
Yeah, it'd be super nice.
Sounds like a lot of fun. If you throw one of these in that game, and you can check out Super Quest Saga. It's another podcast we do where we play Dungeons and Dragons in space. Mm-hmm. I would do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's
you would.
That's the shit I do like.
Indeed. So to anyone familiar with Beholders, a Death Kiss is easy to discern as different than a regular Beholder. But depending on the lighting and those unfamiliar to Beholder physiology, a Death Kiss can easily be mistaken for a full-fledged Beholder.
Sure.
Because it essentially looks the same, and if it's dark, you can't really see that there's no eyes at the end of them tendrils.
There's just teeth. You don't know that it can't see as good, and it doesn't even trade off for talking better, it sounds like.
No, it talks worse, but scarier.
Somehow everything is worse.
I mean, that's the general gist of Beholderkin, is they are less than...
Yeah, they're making like pseudo-clones that are just like certain aspects. Not even just like an aspect of an idea they have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
I had a bad dream. It turned into a dude.
Exactly.
There's a dude walking around my house now. That's the thing. When the Beholderkin are born, are they born like within? Is there like a stat thing that says it's born within 100 feet of?
I think it's born within a mile.
Okay. So it could show up outside the lair, theoretically?
Theoretically, yeah.
I mean, exactly. Beholder's lair is probably more than a mile, considering, like, the uncountable hours they spend, you know, making it or thinking about it.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like, this is how Beholders clone themselves, too.
Right.
They think of themselves so much that another one of them appears, like, a mile away and then carries on thinking it was the original.
Okay.
And if they ever meet, they kill each other.
Yeah. But yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Beholders are crazy.
They're like, what was I doing in the mountain? Oh, yeah. Oh, whoops. It's me.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they have a death fight.
So a death kiss might even purposely present itself as a beholder to an ignorant creature. But this behavior is rare since it is usually focused on hunting and lacks the self-importance and paranoia of a true beholder. Lastly, at times, especially after it feeds, a death kiss's body roils with a powerful electric aura, which we will get more into as we keep going.
Okay. I mean, there's metal and blood or whatever, right? Iron?
There is. I think the idea here is that the blood is a life force, and the life force creates energy, and that energy expresses itself within the death kiss as electricity.
It's just magnets up in there.
Yeah, just magnets. Magnets and blood.
Just magnets and blood. A big eye.
Yep. A death kiss survives solely on ingested blood, which it uses to generate electrical energy inside its body.
Okay.
They favor a diet of humans and horses, but will attack anything that has blood.
Not the horses.
Paranoid about dying from starvation, since that's how they were born, they obsessively drain even little creatures such as rats in an effort to stave off this fate for as long as possible. After it drains its prey, it abandons the corpse to scavengers.
Oh, that's a bummer to think about. They have like an aquarium tank full of just rats that the little eye stalks can go pluck, you know?
Yeah.
Little moosh boosh. Yeah, nasty. Some capybaras. Yeah. Big rats.
No, not the capybaras. I love
them. Not the horses, not the capybaras. But little rats, fuck them.
I mean, no, I like rats too. I actually had a pair of rats as pets as a kid.
Me too.
They're very, very cute, very intelligent.
Technically, my sister did, but it's a family rat.
Shockingly intelligent creatures.
Yeah, really friendly, unless you get one that's a real bastard. We had both.
Oh, okay. Mine were kind. But anyways,
that's good.
I digress. It is important to point out that though they are related to Beholders, Death Kisses are very different mentally from to Beholders. Though still intelligent, they do not have the hyper-genius intelligence of their creators, nor do they have the megalomaniacal, egocentric mindset of their forebearers.
Okay.
Upon birth, the first thing a Death Kiss does is to attempt to escape the clutches of their creator at the first opportunity.
So they're aware.
Yeah. That. They're like, oh, shit. They're like, that dude's around. I got to get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
I know what happens next if I stick around.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only are Beholders clearly superior in combat, but have no tolerance for the presence of any but themselves. So submission is usually not a viable tactic. I mean, there are Beholders that... See, it just depends. Like, a lot of Beholders just can't tolerate anything but themselves. But then there's, like, the group of Beholders that just like to overlord over everybody.
Yeah, like a Beholder that's like, I wish I had a butler friend that looked just like me.
Right.
And then one is born.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that one, who knows what that one's thinking? It's probably going to murder you in your sleep. But
yeah, maybe.
Do Beholders sleep? Was that a thing? They don't sleep?
They do, because they dream.
What the fuck am I saying?
That being said, Death Kisses will typically submit to more powerful entities if only to keep their lives. Lacking the egotistical nature of normal Beholders is not a point of pride for them. When left to their own devices to do as they wish, though, Death Kisses are sadistic, evil creatures that thoroughly enjoy playing with their prey and draining them slowly if they're able to do so without taking the combat too seriously. So they really are nasty, evil, mean things.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're not just, like, they're not just sucking blood because of their, like, delusional paranoia, fear of their self-preservation. No, they actually like inflicting pain and suffering.
Is Geodude a beholder with two eyes?
No.
When Geodude sleeps, he curls up on and looks like a rock on the ground. Yeah. When beholders sleep, what beholder do?
I think they float, but when these things sleep, Death Kisses, they are somewhat like the Geodude, which we'll talk about later.
They curl up, they latch onto the wall with their little tentacle mouths.
Ooh, that's actually scary.
It's kind of like cool. They're hanging upside down like a bat.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, fucking, that's cool.
It's just a testicle hanging from the ceiling. Let's go.
Short rest. Yeah. It's short rest time. God.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Hey everybody, be sure to check out
Super Quest Saga,
a future fantasy 5th edition D&D actual play podcast homebrewed and dungeon mastered by yours truly, me, and Set in Space.
And I play in it, along with your special guest Jake and friend of the show, Josh Freeland.
You can find it on YouTube, iTunes, or anywhere else you can get your podcasts.
Super Quest Saga!
We've returned.
Yeah.
Look at us, back at it again. God damn it, Daniel.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. Jeez, knock on the wood.
Why?
Oh. Like, just in case something makes
there
us...
is. Oh, there is wood. I have wood right here.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so Death Kisses.
Okay.
Death Kisses prefer to operate as lone hunters. Mm. They are most at home in the caverns or corridors of the Underdark, where their tentacles can spread out and search every nook and cranny and crevice as they move.
Okay.
Above ground, Death Kisses usually retract their tentacles into nubs. On their bodies, holding them, ready to be lashed out by surprise when in striking distance, like a snake.
I see. Okay.
When they do this and close their main eye, Death Kisses can become a smooth, spherical, floating ball of flesh. To an unsuspecting passerby, this spectacle could appear to be like a magical floating stone or orb, which, though should definitely not be approached in the world of D&D, can easily have a draw of curiosity to it. It's like, what is this mystery orb floating through this forest?
What is this mystical creature?
Well, no, that's the thing, is it doesn't look like a creature. It looks like an inanimate object floating.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know,
like a rock.
Yeah, like a magic stone or a magic orb or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So, by the time the hapless victim realizes their mistake upon approach, it is too late. A flurry of tentacles descending upon them. Their body is sucked dry in seconds, and all that's left is what did I write here? Oh, the dried out husk of Hank the Woodsman.
Hank the Woodsman. Sorry, Hank.
Sorry, Hank.
We should go back to that thing about Bob in the Basilisk episode.
Oh,
people seem to really relate to Bob.
People really felt for Bob, and Bob was a throwaway for me. I forgot Bob existed.
He's created on the spot. Yeah, I was like, Bob, did we talk about somebody named Bob in that episode? Oh, yeah.
Didn't Bob lose an arm?
Yeah, we super did.
And Hank lost all his blood.
Hank lost all the blood he had.
You can't put it back in. So.
Damn it, Hank. I told you not to let your blood out your body like that. This strange dad.
Stop following those floating orbs through the forest.
I told you not to go after the orbs. Or talk to that crazy woman that laughs from that mushroom hut. Got your baby stolen. Lost all your blood.
Fucking Hank.
Well, okay. I brought up a Death Kiss stat block because...
I want
you to verify that it's correct, though, because I got it off of a website.
Of a unscrupulous site?
Not unscrupulous, but just not an official... 5e site. I figured I didn't see any paperwork laying around, so I thought I'd be proactive about it.
Yeah.
But I mostly wanted to see how they see stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, they have one eye.
Right. One big eye. No nostrils because they're floating around in the Underdark. It's one of the creatures in the Underdark that's just relying off of touch.
Yes.
Because its eye is not going to be super good down there, is it?
It's got superior dark vision, I think, no?
It does say dark vision 120 feet.
So that's superior, yeah.
Okay, sure. Okay, so it can dark see, but it's not getting that good crunchy scent from the Underdark.
No, which is probably good.
Well, I'm just checking, because most things in the Underdark.
To be fair,
most
beholders don't have noses anyway.
That's what I mean. It's if you're
this one happens not to have a mouth either.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it has 10, but they're not on its face.
Not a main mouth. Yeah. You know,
it's 10 main mouths.
10 main mouths.
Okay, so if a Deathkiss meets another Deathkiss, it might fight, flee, or team up, depending on its health and pride.
They might just start making out.
The most common result, though, is a mid-air fight to the death, with the loser becoming an incubator for the offspring of the victor.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, you could call that making out.
I wouldn't, but okay.
I wouldn't, but I mean, you could.
You could.
Yes, despite being the nightmare creations of beholders, death kisses can reproduce sexually.
All right.
I would say the old-fashioned way, but clobbering your mate with 10 tentacles before laying chestburster eggs into them is, and smelling their certain demise is not what I would call the old-fashioned way.
I had a weird dream last night where I lost all my blood, but also I did it. I did it with my 10 mouths. My eyes turned into mouths.
I would be like, bro, stop talking to me.
Stop sleeping. Just stay awake.
Yeah, that too. Anywho, sometimes two death kisses can meet and mate without battling. If such a love match occurs, both death kisses part ways to hunt again in the solitary fashion. Inside both of their bodies, buds begin to develop. Feeding on the bodies of the parents and driving the pregnant death kisses into a manic feeding frenzy.
Wow.
A month after mating, each parent becomes a manic husk hollowed out from within by its offspring. It continues feeding and fighting until it becomes so fragile that a single blow causes it to burst open. At this point, the attacker now has to deal with a swarm of 25 plus death kiss spawn.
Is this going to be one of those weird things in the comments where I learn that this is like a model for a real animal?
Oh, I would not doubt that this is definitely based off some fucking insect that you kill it and then 500 wasps come spilling out of its abdomen.
I cannot wait for you, animal specialist, to get into the comments or into the Discord.
Or even maybe some sort of cephalopod creature where this happens. I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you know how much I learned about snails?
A lot.
This year.
That was last year.
But I mean,
that was the last week of last year.
I probably learned about the snail stuff in the following week. But yes, I mean, the point stands. Please continue.
Okay. Though not nearly as formidable as classic beholders, and without the myriad of magical powers of their progenitors, death kisses still have quite a few remarkable abilities, making them exceptionally deadly to encounter. Mm-hmm. So firstly, their ability to drain blood helps the death kiss immediately recover from damage it suffers in combat, so they can heal as they kill.
Nice.
Also, the electricity generated within them from the blood that they drain is potent enough to damage enemies that manage to cause damage to the death kiss that punctures the flesh and causes them to bleed.
Dang.
So I think if you do slashing or piercing damage, you take electrical damage. Or lightning damage. Wild,
yeah.
So, and unless, also unexpected if you don't know what a death kiss is. It's like, oh, this weird blood-sucking creature. Oh, my God, I got electrified.
You have to roll in there with spears made of, silicone.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Fiberglass hybrids.
That'd be a cool idea. Another ability of the Deathkiss is their capability of going into long-term dormancy. If food becomes scarce, they are capable of entering into a state of heavy hibernation, which will extend their lifetime without the need for sustenance for years.
Oh, wow.
The drawback being that once they enter this state, they can only be roused by a sufficient level of heat or physical disturbance. So there's a chance to never awaken and still starve to death. Thus, the Deathkiss will only do this if starvation is absolutely imminent. It's like, well, I'll starve anyways, so I might as well go into hibernation. Hopefully something comes by that I can eat.
Right, yeah, and not have to, okay, so.
But if nothing ever does, I will still starve to death. It'll just take 10 years.
This sounds like when I eat too many pancakes. She's like, two episodes in a row, food reference.
Indeed. Finally, the Deathkisses possess an organ in the top of their heads that can be used in alchemical recipes to create levitation potions and magic ink. Upon death, part of a Deathkiss's brain will harden into a soft-sided, faceted red gem known as a blood eye, which glows brightly in tandem with strong emotions of those nearby. So it's like a mood stone in a way. Such gems are rarely found and highly prized. So.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is just a fucking like crazy adventure hook.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah. That's
it. Let's go Deathkiss hunting.
We have to go Deathkiss hunting because we can't get the key to the door until we get this crazy wizard that has the key to the door, his gem.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
You get it. Mm-hmm. You get it.
I do get it.
All right.
Before we go over the stat block of the Deathkiss, which I think you've finally pulled up, mm-hmm. maybe. We'll see if it's the official one or not.
Yeah.
I wanted to briefly talk about a Beholderkin closer related to the Deathkiss, but a little bit different.
Okay.
This is a fourth edition.
There it is.
This is a fourth edition exclusive monster called the Bloodkiss Beholder.
Okay.
A Bloodkiss Beholder is a type of undead vampiric beholder created by long-term exposure to the energies of the Shadowfell.
Ooh.
The flesh of a Bloodkiss Beholder's body has been twisted by necrotic energy until it barely resembles its living form, becoming both gray and gaunt.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of its eye stalks, ocular orbs are replaced with hooked, toothed orifices thirsting for blood, kind of just like a Deathkiss.
Yeah, okay.
One major difference between the Bloodkiss and the Deathkiss is the former's ability to perform a magical banshee-like scream that disorients their prey. Often a Bloodkiss will let loose its scream upon a group of prey before rushing in to devour them. Their thirst for blood drives them into a violent frenzy, and the scent of
Blooding.
Bloody prey drives them into an even deeper frenzy. Stop making fun of my typos. Into an even deeper frenzy, causing them to lose all sense of reason or caution. So these are kind of like berserker, undead, screaming Deathkisses.
Yeah, it's really close, honestly. Yeah, it's more close.
It's just, it's 4E always wanting to do everything differently. It's like, yeah. Oh, Deathkisses are cool, but let's do it a little different.
4E using the Shadowfell a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything in 4E is Feywild and Shadowfell adjacent.
Yeah, because I feel like 5E is really not hitting the Shadowfell.
No,
very
they're
hard
hitting
ever.
The Abyss really
the
hard.
The Abyss.
Yeah, and the Nine Hells
the
as
Bloodborne.
Well.
Yeah.
Which is cool. It's all cool.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, I do see some like simplification logic going on here where it's like, oh, the Deathkiss is cool. It's like a vampire beholder, except for it's not undead or vampiric in any actual, like, vampiric way. So they're like, well, that's dumb. Why don't we just make it an undead beholder that sucks blood? I think that was the idea here.
Yeah.
And even though I don't necessarily agree with that line of logic, I see how they got there.
No, yeah, I do too. Yeah. And like when you're looking for stuff to fill the Shadowfell with, that's a good pick.
It is a good pick.
So you can tell me real quick if this is the right stats. Typically a stat block like that would look.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I figured.
So let's go over the Deathkiss stat block, Brian. Tell me all about it.
We got a large aberration on our hands of neutral evil, William. It's got an armor class of 16 natural with 161 points of hit. Now, its speed is 0 feet, but the fly is 30 worth of hover.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. I mean, yeah. So you're getting like a monster. It's large. It can only move 30 feet, and it's floating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. It can also hang with its teeth, according to us.
Yeah,
sure. It's got a strength of +4. I
like the big number, personally.
Okay. Strength of 18, dex of 14, con of 18, intelligence of 10, wisdom of 12, and a charisma of 10.
That's like high-level adventurer stats right there.
Fighter adventure, yeah.
Exactly.
saving throws, it's got a +8 to con. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And a +5 for wisdom. It's a giant eyeball. Perception's +5 for skills. It is immune to lightning. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Condition immunity is prone. Cannot knock this thing prone.
Yeah.
So this is like a something that's like floating in a tub. You cannot make it stay at the bottom of the tub.
Exactly.
It might hit the ground, but it bounces back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What is the hover, when you are hovering, how high off the ground is that? Just for reference of, like, you know, I can't sweep the leg.
Well, I think beholders can fly high, too. I mean, I guess I can't fly, can I?
It's hovering.
I know. Let me see if I can look about.
Yeah, you look up 5e hover, and I'll look. I'll keep reading the stat block.
I know it is like an actual.
It has to be a quantified thing, right?
Yeah, it has to be.
Okay, so senses, it's going to have the 120 feet of dark vision, which you reference as greater dark vision, which I reference as still normal vision, just slightly better, maybe double good. Mm-hmm. It knows deep speech and undercommon, which is going to be horrible to hear out of its 10 mouths, and it's sitting at a pretty challenge rating of 10.
Okay, I got hovering for you.
Okay, what's up?
So it's not what we thought it is. Hovering just means the first thing we said, where you can't get knocked prone because you can't get knocked down.
Yeah.
Like, you would just float back up. So a thing that flies without hovering, and you shoot it down, it plummets and it hits the ground.
Right.
A hovering thing bounces back up.
Right.
But there's no limit to, like, its fly. So a beholder could fly into the sky if it wants.
Okay, yeah. So it just is going to output energy that makes it float above the ground.
It's just naturally buoyant to a certain degree.
Yeah. Okay, it's just naturally going to float. It's got lightning blood. A creature within 5 feet of the Death Kiss takes 5 or 1d10 lightning damage whenever it hits the Death Kiss with a melee attack that deals piercing or slashing damage.
Okay.
Nailed it.
So okay. Within 5 feet? So if you got a spear, you're good.
A creature within 5 feet of the Death Kiss.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so spears.
I would say if... Well, this is implying conduction, right? So if you have a non-conductive weapon...
I think it's implying like a release of...
I opened it up and now there's an aura of energy and that's why it's 5 feet and not... If you hit this thing with a metal rod, you go and die.
Exactly, yes. You're going to die.
You better jump when you do it because that's trying to find ground.
Sure, yeah. But no.
We got actions! Multi-attack. The Death Kiss makes 3 tentacle attacks. Up to 3 of these attacks can be replaced by Blood Drain. 1 replacement per tentacle... Grappling a creature, which we'll get to Blood Drain after. Tentacle, which is a melee weapon attack with a +8 to hit, a reach of 20 feet on one target. Wow. Hit is going to be 14 or 3d6 plus 4 piercing damage. And the target is grappled, which means this tentacle is reaching out and just kind of, you know,
suctioning on
alien
you.
Style.
Yeah.
Xenomorph, right? They're called xenomorphs.
I think so.
I'm sorry, your special guest, Jake. I've let you down. By even questioning it.
I don't really like the alien movies.
Don't say that. Especially because Jake.
I like the first one. It's good.
It is good. Let's see. And the target is grappled if it is huge or a smaller creature. I forgot to read that. Until this grapple ends, the target is restrained, and the Death Kiss can't use the same tentacle on another target. So you got to keep track of which ones is which, doing what. The Death Kiss has 10 tentacles. Thank you. Blood Drain.
Ten tackles.
10 of them. One creature grappled by tentacles of the Death Kiss must make a DC 16 Constitution save throw to keep that blood inside. On a failed save, the target takes 22 or 4d10 lightning damage, and the Death Kiss regains half as many hit points, which implies that you can be losing the blood. So this thing's inside Volo's guide.
It's kind of like, I don't know why, I picture, probably because I've been watching DBZ Bridge, but picture Cell. It's just like sucking you dry until
you're
nothing.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Everybody loves that.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to... Oh, I could see like... You wouldn't have to like create a restoration or anything this, but like where it got you, it's kind of like dried it out.
Shriveled like Piccolo's arm when Cell gets his arm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Man, you really are on a good one.
I am, yeah.
Okay. that's it for the stat block, though.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Any questions about the Death Kiss?
No, we nailed it. I think we nailed it.
Yeah, sure. I think so.
Feel educated.
In that case, let's get ready for a long rest.
Let's do it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest. Since we spent an entire episode covering a beholder, we're going to take a break from creating our customized Dungeon Cast Especial Beholder. And we're going to talk about a little bit about beholder fact. Will, did you know that every beholder has an engine inside of it that powers fans that create a pressurized air cushion beneath it that help it hover?
Oh my
God. I know it looks like magic, but it's actually pure science.
That's canon.
That's canon. Yeah, just kidding. That's how hovercrafts work.
Yeah, that is.
Anyway.
Good one.
That's it for the long rest on this one.
It's not really beholder fact, it's a beholder factoid.
A beholder factoid. That's what this will be. The beholder factoid segment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
Where I just tell you a lie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Where I lie to you.
If you like what we do on this show and possibly even Super Quest Saga. If you're not checking that out, you should. There are a few ways you can support us. The first and foremost thing you can do is to tell people about the show. And we really appreciate it when you do. We notice. We pay attention. We have some incentivization for you in that regard, which is our latest contest where we're giving away a book. What's that book called?
Candlekeep Mysteries.
Man, why can't my brain latch onto that? Candlekeep Mysteries. Keeping on candles.
It's I think it's 16 different mystery themed adventures.
Yeah.
So it's like a nice. It's kind of like Tales from the Yawning Portal, where it's like a bunch of little mini adventures.
Right.
The alt art looks amazing. Like the alternate cover art.
This is a really exciting release because they're based off of like I think there's like heists and like you know mysteries.
Yeah.
You're solving mysteries literally. So that's,
which it's pretty cool to do that because I think. So many people go, like, the Dungeoneering route with D&D. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's called Dungeons & Dragons. But there's other ways to express the game. We do a sci-fi game. You could also do a mystery game. So.
Yeah, this is cool. Or just have a, you know, throw in, you're in a town. You want to have something cool to play in your town or in a city. I think this is a great pick for that. So if you want to win the alternate art cover of... this
Candlekeep
book.
Mysteries.
I think Candlekeep Mysteries. We're going to give away two different copies.
One on Twitter, one on Instagram.
One on Twitter and one on Instagram. Will, you want to tell them how they can do the thing on Twitter?
On Twitter, all you have to do is share a link to your favorite episode of the show. It could be this show. It could be Super Quest Saga. It could be DD5. It could be any of our shows.
It could be a link to our Patreon if you really want to do
I
that.
I suppose so, yeah. I'll accept
Why not?
All you got to do is add the hashtag DungeonCast in between now and March 16th. I'll pick that up, put it on a list, or actually, I'll have someone else do that because someone else is doing that now, which
thank
is great.
God.
So thank you, that someone else.
God bless you,
thank
someone
you,
else.
I love you. So yeah, she'll pick it up. She'll get your name on the list, and then at the end, we will roll a random number generator and figure out who's going to win.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing on Instagram. You're gonna basically make sure you're following the account. You have to be following these accounts to be eligible. And like that post on Instagram and go ahead and tag a friend in the comments. Tell them why you like the show. Tell them something about the show. You can enter as many times as you want in separate comments. Just tag one person per comment, and that's going to help spread the word, which is the point, and get you guys a cool book, hopefully. So good luck to everybody that's participating. If you want to help us out in other ways, you can leave an iTunes review. That's a great one. Or a review on any podcasting platform. You know, I know... Podcast Addict and Podbean all have their own systems, which is weird, but it is what it is. We see them, you know, that's a cool thing that happens. They're usually very kind, and we thank you guys to everybody that does leave iTunes reviews. We see them and appreciate them, and it really does help the show visibility wise. So thanks a lot. Same thing with YouTube, hitting that like and subscribe, you know the drill there. Mm-hmm. And then Patreon. Patreon's the last thing. Patreon.com/dungeoncast where you can get at the $5 tier, some live game stuff, access to Will's show notes, you know, for episodes past, and early access to episodes. We record them and get them published in the same day, which is usually weeks and weeks before they actually are set to air. So get ahead on your lore, you know, and do it behind the shadows of our paywall. but yeah, there's merch that you can only get on our Patreon. The original soundtrack for everything we've ever done exists in the $10 tier, including Super Quest Saga. We get asked about that occasionally, where we can find the tracks for that. I try to keep it as up to date as I can. But just so you know, when it comes to Patreon, we're just kind of doing what we can there. There's not a regular release other than early episodes in the Dungeon Chats, which is a special podcast we do at the $5 level that, you know, is hopefully at least once a month. It's probably a little more than that. That's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I think we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the side?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you. Find me.
the same spell.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.